Angel voice of the Tar Heels, and you're listening to your flagship station for Tar Heel sports, 97.9 The Hill, WCHF.
97.9 The Hill's weekly coverage of Carolina football continues now with On the Heels, providing commentary, analysis, special guests, and your chance to call in, ask questions, and tell us your thoughts on the team. Now, your hosts of On the Heels, Paul Connell and Andy Chaco.
Oh, let the sun beat down upon my face.
His name's Bruce.
On the Heels on the air, top of the hour, alongside Andy Chaikos, taking care of the blind spot. It's Paul Connell with On the Heels. Want to hear from you right away. Let's get you early and often, 919-929-9245. 919-929-9245. You'll be on the Heels. And in case you missed it, and I don't know how you possibly could, Carolina, big, big goal checked off the list on Saturday. They beat Wake Forest 36-34 outside at Truist Stadium. Big on the road win, and that puts a lot of other things. It knocks down a lot of dominoes, puts a lot of things in motion. Defense pitches a shutout in the final quarter, and they get that pivotal interception to set up Norm Burnett's winning field goal with 2:12 to play. Carolina clinches the Atlantic Coastal Conference division title, and the 15th ranked Tar Heels. We'll see where that ends up tomorrow. Have a regular season home slate remaining against Georgia Tech and NC State, but they are going to the ACC championship game. Andy Chaikos, it was a big, big weekend for Carolina, and we talked about it on Thursday. It just seems like we were just here the other day, because we were. And there is not a team in the league, I told you, for the past 4 or 5 years that scares you like Wake Forest, and they lived up to the billing, and once again, players making plays at the right time. Carolina, say it with me, 9-1, Andy. 9-1.
9-1. And it was great to see it. It was a great game to win. Great game to come from behind. And it was a tough one. The one thing I'm really glad to see, though, that game, we came out of the blocks right at the start of the game, which is something we talked about on Thursday. And it was good to see the offense come out hitting on all cylinders. And then it just kind of evolved eventually, you know, particularly in the middle part of the game, into just back and forth slugfest with Wake. And it turned into a great game that our defense did make the best, most important plays of the game.
You know, and every year we go through, every year I as a team, if you're a coaching staff or you try and find the personality of your team, you're looking for the rhythm, you're trying to figure out who are my players, who are my plotters, who are the guys that are just, you know, that are going to show up and be exceptional, you know, who are the all-stars, and it takes a while to figure that out. But the overall team chemistry, what are we good at, what are we not good at, what do we need to cover, you know, what do we need to accentuate, what do we need to really lean into, and it takes, you know, it takes 3 or 4 games to figure that out. And then from our chair, I mean, you know, the first 3 or 4 games we're sitting here, a lot of head scratching. A lot of head scratching because we're not inside, we're outside. Doesn't matter how many years we've been analyzing, evaluating, watching football. You're trying to figure out the, you know, the rhythm of it. But, you know, it's been fun to do this show over the past probably 3-4 weeks because there's a rhythm appearing where the things that we're talking about, and they make us almost seem prescient because we talk about something last week, and all of a sudden this week, well, it comes dropping into play. And the thing that we talked about the past 2 weeks, but especially last week we spent time on, was best thing ever to happen to this team early in the year. What was it? Josh Downs, out. Anton Green, out. Next guy up, what do we do? Oh, well, we're going to have to go to the tight ends a little earlier than we thought we were to incorporate them into the offense. Well, great. Now Josh Downs comes back. Oh, boy, we got a little more octane. Green's out. Okay, Green comes back. Now we got them both. Now we're stretching the field on either side. Hey, great. Now we got octane, and especially with Drake May back there, you know, pulling the, you know, lighting the fuse on this passing game. Fantastic. Lots of targets. He's throwing 9, 10, 11 guys, you know, in the field. Terrific. What happens against Wake Forest? Downs has to go out, get treatment in the second half. Into Green, out, gone for the game. So any other time, last season before, whatever, that happens to your two best receivers, forget it, pack it in. You're on the road in Truist against Wake Forest. They're going to take advantage of that, exploit it. They're going to change. We're going to stumble and fall. Doesn't happen. got Drake May. You have this receiving core that's like, okay, hey, I got two out. We had that before. Tight ends, step up. Let's go.
Not only the tight ends, which you're right, Bryson Nesbitt had a
nice
good game.
Nice to see him back. Yep.
It's good to see him back after, you know, a little nagging injury there last few games. John Copenhaver made some key catches. But also you had, you know, J.J. Jones, yep, and you had Kobe Paceor, and you had Gavin Blackwell all make, you know, key catches in situations to keep drives going. And that was really important. And those were the guys who stepped up and got a lot of playing time at the beginning of the season when Josh and Antoine were both out. And that came back to benefit us in a big way in this game, because there was a while there where we wouldn't have had either one of them. And it was very nice that those guys came in, and they did. You know, next man up, and they performed. And that was great to see.
Well, and it really is the difference, Andy, between a team and a program. Yeah, this is a program. The transition from last year's squad to this year's squad, this is the definition of a program. Next guy steps up, we're going to step into the same position. We're not going to make the same mistakes. We're going to maybe coach you a different way. We're going to have a different focus. You know, but you've got to execute. And if you execute, this works. And we have seen that, because last year you had a team, and I was talking to Brayton McConnell of our newsroom before the show, and I said, you know, I said, if you're a betting man and you put last year's team on the field against this year's team, I said, a little more grizzle, a little more, you know, a little more experience in last year's team in some positions, some key positions, maybe they didn't have the receivers, but you've got a quarterback in Sam Howell, and you've got certain defenders where you're like, boy, we, you know, really like kind of the grit and determination of those defenders. Who would win? You go, well, you don't know. You don't know how it'll roll over. But the one thing that you do know is the biggest problem with that team last year was playing 60 minutes. This team, they sometimes don't play 60 minutes, but at least they don't do it at the end of the game. they appear to play those last 8 minutes like it's the last 8 minutes of their lives, and that has made a difference. This team really has learned how to finish.
Yep, no doubt about it, and that is a key thing for any team that's going to be a good team, much less a great team. You've got to learn how to finish, because there are many, many ways that you can win a football game, but there's also many ways you can lose a football game. And I know that sounds pretty obvious, but actually when you're out there playing, it is really, really hard, Paul, to win a game. And at the college level, you know, basically every team that you play, they're going to have a certain number of talented players. They're going to have a certain number of things that they're going to do well. They may have some weaknesses as well. But the fact is if you don't come out and play really hard and determined and be up for the game, you're going to have a hard time winning. And I think that's been another thing that you know, I don't think we played particularly, you know, at a high energy level against Virginia. But I think we played, you know, with a great degree of energy against Wake Forest, and it was just a tough game. And part of it is the matchup that I talked a little bit about, you know, in our last show, about some of the things that Wake Forest does, particularly on offense, with that slow mesh, you know, slow developing, you know, run-pass option scheme that they run, which is very different than any other schemes that you're going to play against the rest of the year. And I think it was great to see our defense, you know, come up, have a scheme to deal with that, which I think our inside defensive tackles did a really good job in particular with and helping shut that down.
Well, and you really have to tip your cap, because, you know, there are some teams that are bad matchups for other teams. There's some players that are just bad matchups for other players. You know, they used to say that. I wish I could remember the name of the pitcher for the opposing team that used to strike out Roger Maris all the time. And Roger Maris, you know, he's 61-61. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the most famous, you know, players, the greatest players ever play the game. And every time this guy used to strike him out, he would scream from the dugout, "You are not good enough to strike me out. How is this happening?" It just frustrated him. Sam Hartman got to feel the same way about Camp Kelly. This guy has been his Achilles. It's been his kryptonite. And you mentioned the slow mesh. It was working early. You know, it's working early as far as deceiving the yep, defensive backs. And, you know, and Sam got toasted, you know, twice on that. But then, you know, picks it up and, you know, he got bit, But fourth quarter, Carolina's defense needs to rescue the game. Kelly comes up big. He intercepts a Hartman pass that really it looked like it was destined for, you know, for a touchdown. And Cam Kelly going to be glad to see Sam Hartman gone. Sam Hartman would be glad to see Cam Kelly, you know, not in his vision. You got to remember, in addition to his pick that led to the go-ahead field goal, Kelly intercepted Hartman twice last year at Kenan Stadium. Two times. And was one of the key ingredients to the downfall this season. And just good gracious. Sam Hartman, just I would like to not see Cam Kelly ever again.
I'd be just as happy not to see Sam Hartman either myself.
that is the truth.
It kind of goes both ways, you know.
Yeah. So anyway, Carolina looking and learning how to finish. And it's a big deal. We can't you cannot overestimate that quality in a team. And you heard Mac Brown talk about it. He said, you know, the idea of these guys, they're different. They practice different. They listen different. You know, certainly we have coached them a little bit different here in the beginning of the year, and there have been changes made on the Carolina coaching staff. And there's more of a sense of intention, more of a sense of urgency. And they, you know, they've been a little bit tighter on them this year because they know that as you said, this is tough. This is hard. And the margin for error gets thinner and thinner and thinner and more narrow the higher you go, you know, in the rarefied air. And look, last year, Mac mentioned it. We were ranked fifth. We shouldn't have been ranked fifth. We were ranked eighth. We shouldn't have been ranked eighth. When we were ranked 15th, we shouldn't have been ranked 15th. And each of those times, when we were fifth, eighth, 15th, we lost our focus. You know, we looked past. We lost our focus. We didn't concentrate on the 60 minutes that were ahead of us. That takes maturity. That takes discipline. It takes an understanding that the difference in winning and losing is in the nuance. And in this team, we've said it over and over and over, when plays have been needed to be made, players have made plays. Yep. And it has been different guys at different times, but it's a swagger. It's infectious. And, you know, you get to the fourth quarter of these games now. It doesn't matter what the score is. You've got these guys on the sidelines like Josh Downs last week going over to Mac Brown going, don't sweat it. Look, we got this. We're going to straighten it out. And, I've got this. And if it's not him, it's somebody else. And that's something you can't teach. You have to earn that. And you have to earn that through play and through patterns and through, you know, wins.
Yeah. And we've heard Mac talk about this in the – the, you know, joy that he gets out of coaching this team and the fact that this is a player-led team and the difference. And he said, you know, we've heard him say, you know, last year's team was not that way. And he constantly was trying to find ways for him to pick people up and to help, you know, encourage them and get them going and get them, you know, not hanging their head and, you know, and looking forward with, you know, determination and fire in their belly and that kind of thing. And he basically is kind of said off and on throughout the whole season that, you know, this team is different. This team has a number of players on both offense and defense that have taken it upon themselves to lead their teammates and, you know, be the team that they want to be and practice and prepare the way that a good team needs to prepare and practice to get ready for every game, and that's made the difference.
And it's going to be hard. These next two games are going to be hard because not only, you know, not only are you going to play a Georgia Tech team who, you know, would really, really, really love to
knock us off,
finish the turnaround of their season. Yeah, they had again coaching fire. You know, early in the season, they've tried to turn it around. They are trying to turn it around, and you know, this is a big deal for them, especially in the lofty position in which we're held, because they did it to us last year.
Yep.
You know, we went down there highly ranked, highly rated, highly touted. They come down, they just wiped us right up.
And they have plenty of guys that are coming to Keenan Stadium on Saturday that played in that
Mac
game
say,
last year.
Heard Mac say this is basically the same place. By the way, 919-929-9245. 919-929-9245. You'd be on the heels. And, you know, this is a team that would really like this. And then you don't even have to talk about NC State. NC State's looking at this. This game at the end of the season, this is their biggest game of the year. They, you know, they have an opportunity to really do some damage, and they would love to do that. And I don't think that, you know, you go back to why is this hard? It's not just the playing of the game, but they're 18, 19-year, 20-year-old, 21-year-old kids, and your sanity rests, you know, on their stability and their emotional maturity and their ability to manage themselves. Please, how hard that is at that age under just normal circumstances. And now you're reading clips like, this is the greatest thing in the world because You know, this school hasn't won an ACC championship since 1980. Who was your best player in 1980? It was Lawrence Taylor. Everybody remember that? This team hasn't been to, you know, the ACC title game established in 2005, right? How many times have we been there since then? Once.
Yep.
2015, lost 45-37 to Clemson. You know, this is a big, big, big deal. And it's tough to keep that out of kids' heads. And what that does is, you know, they start looking ahead and looking ahead, and you're looking past Georgia Tech, and that's just what Georgia Tech wants because that's how they thrive.
Yeah, we don't want them to do that, that's for sure. And in my letter to Awesome Richards today, I made that point in two or three of the most eloquent ways that I possibly could. But, you know, it's a life lesson that you've got to keep your focus on the goals that you have and the goals you set for yourself and not let those other distractions come into play. And I think, you know, if you think back to last year's basketball season with the men, I'll never forget, you know, kind of what Hubert Davis was saying to the team about, you know, and I think he was quoting a Bible passage or something, and he said, but, you know, don't be distracted by the things to the right and left of you. Keep your eye on what you need to be focused on. And that team did that, and basically until they ran out of gas, I mean literally physically against a very deep Kansas team, they did everything they possibly could to win that championship, and they just fell a little bit short. And I think in this case, I am so hopeful that this team will continue to practice hard, prepare well, and be ready to play against Georgia Tech, because that's all that matters. They can't do anything about any other game. They've got to play hard against Georgia Tech and take care of business Saturday.
Yeah, I'm fond of the phrase, hit the pitch in front of you. Just hit the pitch in front of you.
Yeah.
And
forget about everything
else. This is the pitch that's coming out. Forget about the guys on base. Forget about who's in the stands. Forget about what's, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow. It is hit the pitch in front of you. The pitch in front of you is Georgia Tech. And but, of course, you know, here we go. Here I'm going to say it. The show is now 17 minutes and 12 seconds long, and we've yet to mention Drake May. That's got to be a record because he is he continues to be, you know, the drumbeat, the solid bass drum that's keeping this team on rhythm. And he did it again, Andy. He absolutely did it again. He is, you know, people are starting to use the words like, you know, generational talent, and, you know, his connection with, you know, with Josh Downs, as, you know, it's prolific. It's all reasonable. He's starting to enter into the, you know, the Heisman conversation. Yeah, he is in the Campbell Award. I mean, and what's impressive is it appears that this is all water off a duck's back with regard to him. He seems to have the ability to just say, yeah, that's great, but you know what? I can't do anything about that stuff. That's nice. That's all stuff that my parents can cut out newspaper clippings, and they can make copies and, you know, what have you. But I know that the only way that keeps going is I'm playing Georgia Tech this weekend, and I have 11 receivers that I can throw to. And as they fall down, the other ones get back up. But I have to lead this team and do it as, you know, as a freshman / sophomore that now has 10 starts. We're into double digits. And, you know, all the accolades that have been lauded to him are absolutely earned and, you know, by merit. And it has been incredibly, incredibly impressive. And, you know, but here's another team in Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech always seems to find a little wrinkle to throw at you.
Yeah,
on offense, defense, or they always seem to find a little wrinkle to throw at you that you go, oh, you know, and it's a jab that tags you in the early rounds. And okay, now how are you going to recover from that? How are you going to work around that? And, you know, that is the key to playing Georgia Tech. Is, man, you got to put them out of your misery. I say you have to put them out of your misery early, because the longer they hang around, yeah, the more they think they got a shot, even if the talent doesn't match up.
Yeah, we don't want that at all.
No. We're going to take our first break. It is coming up on 20 past the hour. We'd love to hear from you on the show tonight, 919-929-9245, 919-929-9245. You'll be on the heels as Carolina takes care of Wake Forest, headed to the ACC Championship game against Clemson, but Georgia Tech is up next. We'll be right back.
Working from home? Need space for your team to grow? Visit the Bold Building just 10 minutes from downtown Chapel Hill and UNC. If you need an office for one person, two people, or a team space for 50, we have professional office space for you. When we think about where and how we work, times, they are a-changing. I'm Shayla with Bold Commercial Real Estate, inviting you to ditch the old way, jump on the bold way, and see how we can make your workspace the best it can be. Visit boldcre.com.
I'm Hank Hill, and I sell propane and propane accessories. I think I've done pretty well.
Talking about that dang old 401k, man.
And that's Boomhauer. I used to get my financial advice from him.
Been talking about that dang old Bitcoin and penny stocks, man.
Dang it, Boomhauer, that was terrible advice. Thankfully, John Stillman at Rosewood Wealth Management helped me fix my mess. If he weren't my friend, I'd hug him.
Dang old Hank and I ain't real, man. But Carolina Well Stewart is doing business at dang old Rosewood Wealth Management as a real registered investment advisor in the state of North Carolina, man.
97.9 The Hill welcomes Coldwell banker Howard Perry and Walston as the new exclusive real estate partner of UNC sports coverage on WCHL and Chapelboro.com. Vice President, Managing Broker Randy Cox and his team join our coverage of Tar Heel game broadcasts and other sports programming. With offices across the triangle, Coldwell banker Howard Perry and Walston is the preferred residential real estate agency of all Tar Heels.
Metal braces aren't your only option anymore. I'm Dr. Kirvin Mack with Mack Orthodontics. We offer innovative orthodontics for children and adults. Our diverse services include braces for kids, retainers, clear and invisible braces, surgical orthodontics, and more. We use the most current technique and technology in orthodontics, promising stunning smiles throughout the Burlington and Orange County areas. Start loving your smile.
Make an appointment today at MackOrtho.com. Accepts most insurance, partial payments, and offers flexible hours.
Hello, Tar Heel fans. I'm Robbie Oakes, Managing Director of CIMG Residential Mortgage. As a Chapel Hill native and a UNC grad, I am proud to lead Chapel Hill and Durham's number one mortgage lending team. So we can help you buy or refinance here locally or anywhere from the mountains to the coast. Last year, my team helped 1,500 North Carolina families refinance or buy the home of their dreams. Find out how today. Visit CIMGINC.com for details. CIMG, lending on a first name basis. Go Heels!
This is Anson Dorrance. I'm from Chapel Hill, and 97.9 The Hill is my hometown radio station.
Oh, yeah, I think the biggest thing is trust. You know, trusting each other. Offense trusting defense trusting offense. When we need them, you know, they got us. And when they need us, you know, we got them. So that's been the story of the down-the-road games, and we're looking forward to Georgia Tech. We got some more work to do, but, you know, it definitely feels good being, what is it, 9-1? 9-1? 9-1.
Second and eight. Hartman pulls it. Looks deep, intercepted.
Oh, it's picked off. House.
Coming down the far sideline is Cameron Kelly. He's able to cross the 50. Knocked out of bounds there. Kelly with the pick.
Snap back, spot down. Kick is up, and it is right through there. Tar Heels take the lead. The officials come in. They move the chains, and Carolina's going to win it. The first down, and Carolina's going to clinch the Coastal, head to the ACC championship game, and for the first time in school history, go 6-0 on the road in the regular season. What a win for the Heels tonight.
97.9 The Hill's coverage of Carolina football continues now with On the Heels. Here's Paul Cottle and Andy Chico.
Mac Brown, 274 wins as head coach of the Tar Heels over two stretches, 99 in the tank in 14 seasons, rather, as Tar Heels head coach, looking for number 100 coming up here against Georgia Tech. And it was Carolina taking care of a Wake Forest. And, you know, Andy, we'll go back to it. It's a huge, huge win on the road. And you go back to what we have said at the beginning of every season. Win the tight ones. Win when you're playing not well. Find a way to win on the road. And, you know, and find a way to win after you've been behind. And Carolina, they miss an extra point. They miss a field goal. You know, go for the two-point conversion. They don't get it. Yeah, things are struggling the fourth quarter. They find a way to get there. And remember now, 12-game turnaround here. Carolina's record on the road last year, 0-6. Big donut.
Yep.
This year, 6-0. Fantastic. First ACC team to go 6-0 on the road since 2011. And we'll see where the rankings line us up. This week coming up, and it'll be a kind of a reflection of last year. Carolina was ranked and touted very highly playing this Georgia Tech team, of course, down there in Mercedes-Benz in Atlanta. And it was a poor showing, and it was a poor result, and it really set the tone for the struggles that Carolina endured for the remainder of the season. This one, an opportunity to as they say in the mafia, take care of all family business.
I got to think that there's enough of our guys that played in that game last year. That are going to say to the younger guys in practice this week, guys, we got some payback that we need to deliver, and they're going to. I think that's all you need to think about, because it's going to be ugly.
Here's the key also, and by the way, 919-929-9245. The key to it is they need to go back and watch snippets of that game, and not for the specific plays, not for the specific scores and what have you, but that Georgia Tech team, when they got us down, they never stopped coming. They just kept trying. They were like, we're not given a chance to come back. We're not given a chance to breathe. We are just going to keep drubbing, keep driving. And that's the next step to this team finishing is get on them early, stay on them, keep it, drive them, go home. Make it so that 6 minutes left in the game, you're going, all right, well, what guys do we need to give a little time to? Who's not had a lot of minutes to get you in there and get you a couple of minutes? But the key again, like it doesn't happen without Drake May. 31 of 49 for 448. That's the most passing yards ever at Truist Field in Wake Forest. Also threw the ball 49 attempts. That's a career high for Drake. And the 448 most passing yards for the Tar Heels since Sam Howell set a single game record with 550 versus Wake Forest, back in 2020. And May enters again Saturday, leading the nation in touchdowns responsible for. He adds three more through the air, one through the ground. He is up to 39, holding a one TD advantage over Austin Reed. He also had 71 rushing yards and a touchdown. And I won't say enjoying, but I am appreciating his running a little bit more now, because it's a little more strategic. It seems a little more heady, and I have yet to see him leave the turf.
I think he's also developed a very good understanding of the need to either get out of bounds, or he's also perfected his slide, and he's using both of those as he should, I think. In these last number of games, I think the other thing about his passing that has continues to be very important is the fact that he is spreading the ball to a number of receivers, and in this case, he's completing passes to nine different receivers. He's also there. It's interesting that we're not seeing a lot of rotation, of the running back, but you've got Elijah Green that is basically handling the running back duties, and that not only means running the ball when he's called on to do so, or go out for a pass when he's called on to do so, but the fact that he's doing such a good job in pass protection cannot be overemphasized, because without that capability to pick up blitzers, and people are going to try and blitz, Drake, without any question, you've got to have a running back that can actually, not only figure out where's it coming and how to position himself to pick it up, but then physically be able to stone somebody so that they can't get in there and collapse that pocket.
Yeah, and Green with 18 carries for 66. He had a touchdown, a long of 24, average of 3.7. You take away that 24, and he's still had, about 3 yards a carry. Which is okay. But again, what you said, Andy, he's the only running back in the game. He's the only running back that got touches, straight out of the backfield. And with sometimes the lack of motion and movement back there, if you're the only back in the backfield and your task is to be back there blocking, you're a sitting duck. I mean, they're setting up to slap you aside of the head and then go get your quarterback. So that's a lot of duty for Elijah Green, and that's a tremendous amount of responsibility. I won't say pressure because he hasn't shown it, but a tremendous amount of responsibility to throw on a guy who started the season as number four. You know, four, you could even say five if you want to throw in another one. But, you know, here's a guy that's coming off the bench who's kept sliding up. Eventually, you know, maybe I know where my helmet is. And then you get to, you know, two and like, hey, maybe I better warm up a little bit. And now here you are.
He got his number called against Duke, and he took advantage of that. And he's somebody that obviously the offensive staff has confidence in. And, again, I just can't overemphasize the fact that when you've got a running back in the game, they've got to be able to pass block.
Yeah, absolutely.
Particularly in our offense.
Yeah, you have to be a renaissance man of the offense. Yep. You have to be able to do all the skills. You got to be able to. You have to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield. You got to be able to run. You know, the designed runs, but you really do. You have to be able to block. And you know, Andy, you know more about this than a lot of people. You know, whether in the tight end spot or running back, it's not just the ability to block, but it's the ability to decide which guy do I need to block. Yeah. Who's the from the Secret Service man, you know, of his background, what's the most immediate threat? Now, is that something you feel? Is that something you're taught, or is that just something that comes with the time on the wall?
No. You're prepared for that in terms of your practice during the week and your the diagnosis of what the other team likes to do on defense and what we expect them to do against us, so that you're looking at, you know, each given play, you have, you know, a primary assignment, whatever it might be, whether it's a one-on-one block or whether you're blocking a zone, depending on, again, the play call, or it's a combination block with a tackle or potentially a running back, you know. You have to be able to read on the run. You got to be able to read on the move. And that's why, you know, it's very interesting to me, but I learned how to play chess when I was very young. My father taught me how to play chess when I was probably 5 years old. But basically, football is like a game of chess, except every play, there's 22 men that are moving all at the same time.
They're not taking
turns. No, they're not. And it is, you know, it takes a good bit of discipline and intellect to be a successfully, accomplished football player. And a lot of that is knowing where to go and when to go. And, you know, going back to Drake May, you know, we've talked about it the whole season, but, you know, the thing that really separates him from other people is his ability to make good decisions. Yep. And at Wake, it was very clear. He made a lot of good decisions. I did hear Longo talk at his press conference this morning and said, you know, there's maybe six or eight plays, you know, that we'd probably like to discuss again. But having gone back and done that, it's really probably more like four.
Yeah.
And if you go through, you know, 75 plays in a game, and there's four plays that you kind of question maybe you could have made a better, different decision, yeah, that's a pretty incredible percentage.
Oh, sure. And you're
getting right, I got to tell you. Because
yeah,
this game, it's not like you're doing it and everything, all the pieces are still. All the pieces on the field are moving all at the same time, and you're trying to make decisions.
Yeah, and you got sacked three times. There's five total tackles for loss. On balance, you know, we had the ball. He had the ball, six more minutes than Wake Forest,
yep.
and made the most of it. But, you know, and you look back, you talk about processing, you talk about the decisions that are made, you talk about the ability to block, the ability to move, and then the ability to execute. You know, let's not forget, it got harder in the last 12 years because the pistol became in vogue. You know, spreading out the offense, more receivers on the line in the slot. You only got one guy back there to protect you. You know, you're all the time almost all the time out of the shotgun. You got guys that are, you know, coming from the edge, and you got guys that are always bigger and they're faster. Then you got guys that are coming on the delayed blitz because, you know, that you got such good coverage in the back, you know, in the defensive secondary that, you know, they're hoping for coverage sacks just by containing those receivers. There are so many decisions to be made. There's so much processing to be done. And, you know, I want to keep giving, Green and May credit. You know, the ability to make the game slow down in your head and the processing that's to be done. It is absolutely, you know, fascinating to watch that exist. And then you go down to what you were just saying, which is Drake May, again, continues to throw to multiple receivers. He throws to nine. And you know, and here's the key to that is there was no one-hit wonders there. All nine of those receivers, everybody on that list was targeted at least twice. So it wasn't just, well, you know, I got to throw to this guy. You know, Pesor, he caught one out of two. Great. It was for 22 yards. You know, he was targeted. He's targeted twice.
That's a contribution.
It's fantastic. You look at Copenhaver. Targeted twice, he caught both of them. 41 yards, you know, a long of 22. He had 25 yards after catch. So, you know, that's a guy who's making the most of an opportunity.
Yep.
Those three catches, Pesor and, you know, and the two by Copenhaver, I don't know that we win without those three catches.
We needed everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, you look at guys, you know, you got Jones catching the ball out of the backfield. You got, Morales, another tight end. And then you get up to the, you know, the gaudy numbers up there. We're really just one gaudy number. And that's Josh Downs getting 11 of the 14 balls that were thrown his way with 50 yards after catch, long of 43. And then, of course, you throw in the three touchdowns and the 154 yards. It's another big day for him. But you got Bryson Nesmith. I am so – you talk about being in the right place at the right time and peaking at the right time. I'm so glad to see Bryson Nesmith back in gear and back, you know, back rolling, because there's your middle threat. You know, you're going to have Downs going to stretch it out here on your left. You're going to have, you know, Green going to stretch it out here on your right. That seam throw, that, you know, that has become Drake May's signature. We haven't seen as much of that over the past, you know, 2-3 weeks. You got Bryson Nesmith coming back. Man, now you've got three poisons that, you know, you are not going to be able to really load up on any one guy. And that's a nice problem to have.
Well, I think the other thing they can do with our tight ends, too, is you can actually go multiple tight ends in a game, you know, for a change of pace that the other team.
And I hope we see that in the red zone.
I think we will see that. And, you know, we had a number of touchdowns by Kamari Morales, you know, earlier in the season, and they've kind of gone away from him a little bit, which is okay. You know, you need to spread, you need to change things around.
They went away from Bryson Nesmith.
Exactly. Yeah. And then they'll come back, and then you'll, you know, the things that they'll, you know, have to pick from, if you will, in terms of the kinds of plays that we want to run here at the end of the season. You know, Longo will have to come up with his game plan about which ones he's, you know, which items out of his bag of tricks he's going to pull out. And I think that's really important because in a season, and we talked about this, some weeks ago, Paul, but I talked about the point that you don't start the beginning of the season with the entire bag of tricks available. You have a smaller bag, and then you add things as you go. And some things are particularly designed because of a weakness that you see in the other team's defense. In other situations, they're just an extension of something we already do. We do it very well. And now here's another wrinkle that when the other team is trying to defend that they're not going to expect something, but you're going to fake that and do a different thing off of that. And both of those add to a more complete playbook that you can choose from as you get to the end of the season.
You talk about a rhythm with coaching, and you really have to wonder how Gene Chizik's feeling these days. Because, look, it's you don't want to be too dramatic on it, but you don't want to use the word, it's miraculous the way this defense has performed in key situations, and, you know, key players have made key plays at key times. And, you know, so as a defensive coordinator, especially, you know, a guy who's got plenty of experience and the national championship under his belt, and he's here for the second time, you know, how do you start, you know, if you're him, it'd be fascinating. How do you start just simply laying the groundwork and the right strategies and schemes, and you gamble at the right time and what have you, with the idea that I have confidence that somebody's going to make a play at the right time. I need to not overreach, not overcoach, but just put guys in the right position to make plays at the right time, because I think that's probably one of the hardest things in all of coaching for sports is to have that faith, because all coaches are control freaks.
Yeah, I think though, Paul, look at what they have done. So they've had two games now since they lost, you know, Dez Evans Taylor. And in this second game, you had Kamen Rucker play a larger role, partly because he was still hurt playing against Virginia.
Yep.
And you had Javari Ritzy go out at 6'4", 290 pounds, go out there and play end. And, you know, he's proven that he's an unusually big man to be as athletic as he is to be able to play out there on the edge and rush. And that, I think, is going to turn into a benefit for us. And I think the same way that Rucker had been rotating through, getting his snaps, you know, throughout the season. But now, you know, with the loss of the two defensive ends that I just talked about, you know, that Kamen Rucker is really getting a chance to show what he's really capable of. And the fact of the matter is he was, you know, a less than highly recruited athlete, but came out and he's, you know, he's a 6'2 kind of guy, you know, very strong, but really knows how to use his leverage extremely well. And he gets up under those, you know, taller, you know, bigger, you know, offensive linemen, and he's able to, you know, have his way with these guys because he is a tenacious guy that feels like he's got something to prove and has the skill and the technique to actually do it, get it done, do what he wants to do. So yeah. it's been that's a thing where I would credit, you know, Chizik and, you know, Charlton Warren, you know, and Tim Cross, you know, for helping develop these guys, because these guys were two guys that at the beginning of the season, yeah, we knew their names and there were some expectations that they were going to be part of the solution of a better defense this year. And the fact of the matter is now, you know, they're the starters.
Yeah, we're going to take our final break. We'd love to hear from you. 919-929-9245. Good God, we can't be knowing everything. And when we come back, we're going to have to talk about this. The fact, look, we have to have the conversation. I know that Max said, look, they don't care where you are in the rankings, 10th week into the season. But you know what? It's a conversation that has to be had simply because the only team that this team has lost to is Notre Dame. Notre Dame 2 weeks ago beats Clemson. That's a top 10 team solidly. Notre Dame now re-entering the top 20. Carolina lost to Notre Dame early in the season, not at our best, but has run the table from that point. At what point does this team enter into the big conversation, especially with Clemson on the table? That's a big topic. We'll address it when we come back. You are listening to On the Heels on WCHL 97.9 The Hill.
Stuck around St. Petersburg when I saw it was a time for a change. Killed the Tsar and its ministers, Anastasia screamed in vain. I rode a tank, held a generous rank.
This is Aaron Mattson from UNC Field Hockey, inviting you to read my column, Notes from the Field, on chapelboro.com. Through Notes from the Field, which is proudly presented by Chapel Hill Tire, I share my thoughts on field hockey, travel, life in Chapel Hill, being a student, my amazing teammates, and basically anything that comes to my mind. New columns publish on Tuesdays, and you can read them all in the Town Square section of chapelboro.com. You can also stay up to date by following at WCHL Chapel Boro on Twitter and Facebook. Now, excuse me, I've got to get to practice.
This is Mac Brown, head coach of the Tar Heels. We're excited to see you at Kenan Stadium this season, so don't forget to make weekend reservations for you, your family, and friends at the new Sheridan Chapel Hill, where the team stays the night before games. The new Sheridan has been completely renovated and has all the amenities you need to fully enjoy your time in Chapel Hill. Go to SheridanChapelHill.com for our 6 home games. Go Heels!
At Olmos Jewelers in Eastgate Crossing, they make customers for life. Here are a few words from Skyler, a longtime customer.
When my now husband and I were starting the ring shopping process, we have been together for almost 9 years, so I was very involved with the ring. The whole process can be nerve-wracking, but I love Olmos because it just feels like home. They're so accepting and welcoming and patient. They just really make you feel comfortable.
Olmos Jewelers in Eastgate Shopping Center. The name means diamonds. Let's engage. Online at olmosjewelers.com.
I'm Jeremy Salemson with CIMG Residential Mortgage. You've no doubt seen the commercials for the national mega corporations that offer faceless online mortgage services. Well, at CIMG, we offer a personal lending experience like no other. All of our approvals occur right here in Chapel Hill. We loan our own money and we stay connected with our customers throughout the process. In short, we humanize the lending experience. Learn more at CIMGINC.com, lending on a first name basis.
Thank you.
What's up? It's RJ Davis. Olla Cantina in Briar Chapel has been my go-to for Latin American food since arriving in Chapel Hill, which is why I'm excited to announce the new dish we created, RJ's Cajun Shrimp Burrito. RJ's Cajun Shrimp Burrito has the right amount of kick and is perfect for lunch or dinner. And on Tuesdays, all day long, you can get it only for $10 at both Olla Cantina and Town Hall Grill. Just tell them RJ sent you.
I'm Tommy Ashley.
And I'm Joey Powell with Inside Carolina Live.
And 97.9 The Hill is our hometown radio station.
Tar Heels go five wide, including Green, Elijah Green, in the slot right side. He comes in motion, made a throw, end zone, touchdown, Carolina. Josh Downs brings it in for six. Downs elevated and comes down with it on the back line.
Three receivers to the left side of the formation for the Heels. May gets the shotgun snap, drops it off at the five, Downs into the end zone one more time. Touchdown, Carolina.
2:30 to go as May to throw has a man down. Give him another one. Between a double team, Downs brings in his third touchdown.
Now we want to continue to work toward a standard of excellence to be the best team we can be. We're relevant now, and we're relevant because we've won a championship on our side. And Clemson's a great team, but we can't worry about them now. We've got to worry about continuing to get better. So we've got to win on Saturday, and then we've got our rival with NC State coming in. So we've got two exciting games left. It'll be a lot of fun, and like I said, this team can get a lot better.
It was a beautiful day, sun beat down.
No, no, Daniel. Turn it up. Turn it up.
I was driving.
Please get to the car.
The trees went back. Me and Dale were singing.
Very nice. Five times North Carolina football history. The Tar Heels have finished the season ranked among the top 10 in the AP 25 poll. Carolina 15th last week. Losses by Oregon, Ole Miss, UCLA on Saturday. They could move up a couple of spots. You're on the table. They could come very close. Very close. There's a possibility. They matched the best finish in the AP poll. When was that? Number six at the end of the 97 season. Credit where credit's due to the staff, to these players. They have their eyes focused, we would hope, on, again, the next pitch that's coming down the pipe. That's Georgia Tech. And, you know, Andy, as much as we talk about Drake May, as much as we talk about Josh Downs, as much as we talk about this offense, the offensive line, which we really have not, glowed about on, you know, in this session of On the Heels, and we may not have a minute to, but we really do need to continue to laud this defense. Because as we've said on the past, for the past 3 weeks, this is a team that could, with failings of key plays and players, it could be 4-5. They could be 5-4. They could be, you know, threatening to be not bowl eligible right now. But they are not. They are 9-1 because players have made plays, and this defense has been nothing short of exceptional with their backs against the wall.
Yep, no doubt about it, Paul. Just one last comment by me on the offense. Basically, 36 points, 584 yards, and 30 first downs. That's a good day at the office.
The word is gaudy.
Yeah. So let's talk about the defense. What happened when we needed it to happen was basically they won the fourth quarter. They shut out the other team. They got 0 points. And that interception put us in the key position to big play, a big turnover of a good quarterback and a good passing team that turned the game to the winning margin.
Well, and look, this, you know, these defensive plays, you know, at some point, look, they, you know, they close out one for you, okay, they close out two for you, okay, even three, you're like, wow, you guys really, you guys are on kind of a nice little gambling roll here. But four games, five games where, you know, you've either, you know, held the fort until the cavalry could get there, or you actually closed it out with a turnover, you know what, that ain't luck.
No.
That is opportunity, you know, in mesh with preparation, and then you get execution by making the play.
Right. So in this game, I think another thing that was pretty obvious, I think, for those of us who are watching very closely on the defensive side, is basically we blitzed more this week. we got more, you know, sacks and pressure versus Hartman, and we got them behind the chains.
Yeah, and
where
I think
they didn't want to be.
Well, let's come back to that because, you know, you mentioned the past 2 weeks when we've had some injury issues. I mean, some key injury issues and injuries up front.
Yep.
And, you know, guys that we're really missing. And, you know, credit where credit's due to Gene Chizik going with the three man, you know, the three down linemen. Man, that's tough. I mean, that's a tough change to make, just losing that one guy. And, you know, now learning how to play that set. And, you know, as you said, some blitzes, some late blitzes and working with that. That's a card player, that is.
Right. So what happened was we're playing in this situation, we're bringing all four linemen and probably two linebackers as many times as we could up the middle. Because what Hartman is not as tall as Drake May. He's like a 6'1 kind of guy, 6 foot kind of guy, and he doesn't like that pressure up the middle. And that's what that's exactly what we try to deliver to him. Now the risk that you run when you rush six is you've got five back in coverage, or in the case we actually rush seven once. But what you're doing is you're leaving your defensive backs on an island and you're making it much tougher on them. But that is the risk you've got to accept when you want to, you know, go with that aggressive pursuit. And it's not like we did it every time, but, you know, there were probably, you know, two dozen or more times that we did blitz more than just the, you know, the four guys from up front.
Well, and knowing that, you know, sometimes we have communication problems in our secondary. Sometimes, you know, there are some open areas that are head scratchers. I think that the decision was made. Look, the way to do this is let's get to Hartman. Let's not let him get set. Let's not let him get settled. Let's not let him get comfortable, because he's got experience and he's got skill, and that's a deadly combination, especially when you've got three receivers out there that can all catch the ball and could all potentially go up top and, you know, and be the big play. But
they did throw four touchdowns.
Yeah, well, this is true. Yes, we're going to give you that. But still, Sam Hartman, he was not comfortable the whole game.
No, he was not.
Had to work. Yep. And that's, you know, that's what you want to do. And it doesn't matter if the score is 36-34 or 36-17. I'll take the two. You know,
yeah,
I'll see you next year. I'll take the 19. Thanks, and you'll come back to Keenum. But, you had the linebacking and the D-back core, you know, locking down as many tackles as they had. You know, you got Sid Gray with nine. Storm Duck grabbed eight. Tony Grimes had seven. And then, the six tackles, two solo, half a sack by Ritzy. Boy, that right there, that's a cornerstone effort from him.
Yeah.
That's a cornerstone effort from him.
And if we see more of that, it is what we need, without any question.
And I don't want to downplay Kevin Hester either.
And Kamen Rucker as well.
Yeah.
So those guys, Hester and Miles Murphy also playing those, you know, those inside technique, spots, and coming up with the tackles and the pressure that they did in the middle is enormously helpful against somebody like Hartman. And then, but to get the additional tackles that we got from Ritzy and, Miles Murphy and those guys that I just mentioned, I mean, this is very helpful. And it took away some of the tackles maybe that the linebackers have gotten in the last number of games, but that's okay. That's okay. We want everybody getting to the ball, and that was, I think, something that we saw on Saturday that was really important.
A couple minutes left. Georgia Tech up next. This is a deceptive 4-6, a deceptive 3-4. This is a team that struggled early in the season, made a coaching change. They are trying to roll. They're trying to rally. They had, a disappointing loss against Miami. They really weren't in that one. They lost it 35-14, and they lost it at home. They're not happy. In fact, quite frankly, they're pissed. They got that one-point victory over Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech, not a very good team. And then, you know, coming off the two losses, you know, one at Florida State and one, against Virginia at home. But this is a team that back in October, they beat Duke. Beat Duke, and they beat Pitt. But that Duke win by three, these guys are going to keep playing for the whole amount of time. and they just want to stay in the game until they have an opportunity to, you know, to either win it or lose it. And it all comes down to us playing our best game and executing for all 60 minutes.
We've got to play well. We've got to play all 60, and we've got to be there at the end, that's for sure. And I think if we do that, we have a good opportunity to win another game. But it's all what you do on the field. And I think another thing that can't be, overstated is the importance of having a very loud fan base in the stadium at 5:30 on Saturday. It's going to be important to be loud and let the team feel the support that everybody feels and everybody's talking about, and the buzz and the vibe and everything. Let the players hear that by how loud you are at the stadium.
Yep. And, we're going to wrap it up here. Thanks so much for joining us. Before we do, we're going to just end just a couple minutes early, because we would be remiss if we didn't send our thoughts and prayers out to the folks at the University of Virginia. Yep. Because, I'm a dad, you're a dad. It's every parent's nightmare. It's every coach's nightmare. It's everybody's nightmare. And it can happen anywhere. And you hear the phrase, whether you're religious or not, you hear the phrase, there but for the grace of God. And that doesn't have anything to do with the action. That has to do with you not experiencing the action. And, three football players and two other students, three killed, two injured. And we want to think about the names and the families of the folks that were killed. That's Devin Chandler, Lavelle Davis, and Deshaun Perry, and the university community up there, led by President Jim Ryan. Look, at this point, we're all for the University of Virginia. We're all here. We're all for you. And we talk about since the beginning of the show, and it happened kind of spontaneously by accident. I always say, hey, take a look around. Somebody needs a hand. Give them some help. You know why? Because you can. Things are good. Take a look around. You see kids. You've worked with kids. I've worked with kids. And the best thing that you can do for any other human being, and especially a kid, is let them know that they're being seen. Let them know they're being seen. Let them know they're being heard. How do you do that? Use your instinct.
Yep.
And you go up to somebody and you go, how you doing?
Yep.
You'd be amazed. Don't take it for granted. How you doing? Let them tell you they're all right. How you doing?
Yep.
And it really is the being seen, the being heard, because the phrase that I've always thought and taught and taken with me when I see episodes like this, I think of the soul and the tortured soul that committed this act. They weren't born to do this.
No, they weren't. And I think the importance, Paul, is if you hear somebody doesn't give you the strong, I'm doing great, or I'm doing just fine, or whatever it is, be prepared to have a moment to give them more if you sense that somebody might need a little more. It's not just words. It needs to be the way you live your life. And you need to be, thing you and I talk about, and I know I've talked about, is being a man for others, being a woman for others. You need to be a person for others, because that's the only way we make the world a better place.
It really is. And you know what? We're going to tell it to you up front. It's inconvenient. It's time consuming. It takes away from you. It takes away from pursuits. It takes away from desires. It takes away from getting from point A to point B, because it's a little rabbit hole. It's a trail. It's a sidetrack. But you know what?
Worth it.
Wow. If you can make a difference in somebody's life, if you can avoid any, I'm not talking about a situation like the one that happened today, but anything like it, simply with these words, how you doing? So I ask you, Andy, my friend, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well tonight, Paul. Doing great. Glad to be here.
Daniel, how you doing?
Happy to be here with you two guys right now.
Good. Because we're happy to be here and thankful to be here. So you get home.
How
tonight.
You doing, Paul?
Buddy, I'm doing okay.
All right.
I am doing
all
okay.
Right.
I'm going to give you a good, strong, I'm doing okay. And everybody out there, look, it doesn't take a second. Wherever you are, turn and ask the person next to you. Even if you think you know, how you doing? And then here's the key. Listen to them. Find out how they're doing. So we're going to come on back next week. big, big, big Saturday. Let's get back to some football. Carolina Georgia Tech game day broadcast on 97.9 The Hill. It begins at 2:30. Tell you 2:30. So we got our good friends on Saturday the 19th from Inside Carolina Live. They'll take over there, and then they'll hand it over to Jones Angel. And then next Monday, of course, Monday's with Mac. Mac Brown's exclusive conversation on 97.9 The Hill in the sports section of chapelroar.com. Hey, men's hoops tomorrow. Tip-off versus Gardner-Webb, 8 p.m. Game night broadcast with countdown to tip-off of Brighton McConnell at 6:30. And for this broadcast of On the Heels, you can catch it on demand, chapelroar.com/On the Heels. Thanks so much for joining us this evening. Carolina, once again, 9-1, 6-0 in that conference. Heels are on a roll. You need to turn up at Keenan Stadium and keep them there. Hey, Chapel Hill, we're going to say it again. Take a look around. Somebody needs your help. Give them a hand. You know why? Because you can. Have a good week, everybody.